It's O'Neill Outside. On News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. For fishing and hunting or anything in the great outdoors, O'Neill Williams is your guide. Let's go outside with O'Neill.
Good morning, boys and girls, from Black Power Headquarters at the Bojangles Studio High in the mountains of North Georgia. O'Neill Outside presents Real Tree Radio. Welcome to a brand new unused Saturday morning. Yes, indeed. Welcome to the program, everyone. We've got another hour of outdoors headed your way. The calls are lining up, and we'll hope you'll be able to join us this morning. The telephone numbers are 404-872-0750, or outside the Atlanta calling area, it's 800-972-8255. You can listen on WSB Radio and listen on the SB Nation, or the Sports Broadcast Nation, nationally into 126 radio stations all over the country. And, of course, you can tune us in, too, on Facebook. And I hope you'll do that. Woman Williams is not with us this morning. We've had a big week, so to speak, at ICAST and several other places that we've had to travel this week. So she's taking the morning off, and that's okay. We have the Silent Hero Award at 25 after the hour. And at 40 after the hour, we will have the Medal of Honor tribute and, of course, your calls. It's my pleasure and privilege to ask you, to invite you, to watch O'Neill Outside Television. It's on Fox Sports Southeast, Fox Sun, Fox Arizona, the Pursuit Channel, and so many other networks across the country, and, gosh, lots of them. And there'd be a lot more of them to come. And one of the things you may get out of that, of course, is the recipe and recommendations from the Big Green Egg, cooking segment. Terrific recipes. And before we go to this first break, it'll be my privilege also to selfishly invite you to go to Amazon.com or to O'NeillOutside.com, and you will be able to purchase O'Neill Outside, People and Places Along the Way. It's my observations, my recollections about being in the outdoors, fishing, hunting, the partners, the places, and maybe it's written in a way that you may get some enjoyment out of it. O'Neill Outside. So, we got to go to a break. Charles has been holding on all this time, and we'll be back, I promise. Welcome back. Let's talk on O'Neill Outside this morning. We've been looking forward to this call. Let's talk to Charles. He's on the air with O'Neill Outside. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning, O'Neill. How are you doing this
Lovely.
Saturday morning?
I appreciate you holding on so long. How can we help
thing.
You?
Well, my kids, I got two boys.
Okay.
And I want to get them interested in fishing.
Okay.
I bought them both rods, and I want to know what your advice would be to get them away from the iPads, away from the big video games, away from the TVs, and want to go out and go fishing.
Okay. Do you know of or can be assured of some places to go? Where are you calling from, Charlie?
Well, we live in Buford right now. I'm between there and Augusta.
Okay. All right. Let's take it from here. If you go to the website at the Department of Natural Resources in Georgia, they have at the state parks and wildlife management areas in the state, which are listed on that website, they're ponds. They have docks. They're well kept, and they are well stocked ponds. All you're going to use some live bait. Get some what you can buy it at the store, buy it online. Fisher's Choice, and it's crickets and shrimp and all kind of things for you to use for bait on these ponds. You are going to catch fish. That's what counts. All right, so.
Yep.
These are pleasant places. They're not crowded. The ponds are full of fish, and the Fisher's Choice baits will allow you to use them without the hassle of having to go buy live bait. The fish will bite them. The thing that you have to make sure that with children is that you get some action. It doesn't have to be a new world's record largemouth. It can be a 2-inch brim. It doesn't matter. But what counts is that the equipment works. And you've already purchased rods and reels. Practice some, okay? Practice casting so that they can do that proficiently enough so that they are accomplishing something. And then lastly, when you take them fishing, you might invite one of their friends to go with them.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Yeah, so and take choice, and since you have a cell phone, take lots of photos.
Yeah, all right. So Fisher's Choice and a state park?
Yes, a state park. Those ponds are loaded with fish. The Department of Natural Resources keep them stocked with catfish and brim and crappie and all kind of wonderful fish. And it, to the kids, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what they catch. You know, I've told it so many times, the most beautiful sight in fishing is the hole in the water where the cork used to be. Just so they get bit.
Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate your advice, and I really like your show, Ed. I love listening to you in these pre-dawn hours.
Well, thank you very, very much. It's nice to get away from politics for a few days and enjoy the weekend.
Yes, sir, it is. All right.
I congratulate you on having the objective to get your children involved in fishing and outdoors. And two, let me, if I might make a recommendation, aside from the fishing part, okay?
Right.
There are many on the Department of Natural Resources website, there are lots of hiking trails. And yep. I'm not talking about something where you have to walk 10 miles. And you can go in those hiking trails. They're not crowded. And wear bug bands so that everybody doesn't get ticks and mosquito bites. And you just sit there in the woods and be quiet. And if you're quiet, the woods will wake up around you. The birds,
yep.
The squirrels, the ground squirrels, the chipmunks. And it's so much better than an iPad or an iPhone.
I agree.
And the mistake most people make when they're on the trail like that is they talk too much.
Yep.
Keep quiet. And the woods will wake up all around. They'll forget you're there.
Yep. All
I'm
right.
Glad you called, Charles. Let me know about your trip when you go, will you?
I will. And just an aside, so I'm driving on Georgia 15 right now.
Uh-huh.
And just in this call, I probably passed 20 deer.
Yeah.
So.
That's great,
right,
isn't it?
Well, thank you so much.
You bet. Glad you called. Glad you called, sir. There you go. And it's 17 after 18 after the hour. And now it's time for the Hayes Ram Fishing Report with Mac Farr. Good morning, Mac.
Good morning, O'Neill. How you doing?
Hey, what do you say, pal?
Not much. I got the big ram fired up right now. I'm rolling towards the lake.
I'll bet you are. And what's the prognosis for the next few weeks on Lake Lanier and other area lakes for some of these big finny critters?
Yeah, this is time to go. Fishing's good all over the southeast. I've talked to guys all over different reservoirs. It's typical summer patterns. We're getting good lead core trolling, good umbrella trolling. Live bait fishing's probably your best overall technique. Live herring on the downline, but power reeling. Got to throw that in there, too. Big jigs, big 2-ounce chipmunk or a big spoon. And the key to this time of year, O'Neill, and this is what I tell people, you got to find them. They're bunched up. They're usually catchable, but you have no visual giveaways. There's no birds. There's very rarely a surfacing fish. So it's all electronics, and you got to use your charts and your electronics. But once you find them, they're bunched up, and they're pretty catchable. It's a matter of moving. You got to move a lot.
I thought about you this week at ICAST because I was at the Nichols Lures display, And they had quite a display of those gigantic spoons.
Absolutely.
And what are those, 8 inches?
8 inches, 3.5 ounces.
Yes, sir. And we talked about that, and you and how deep you can catch fish at the lakes like Hartwell and Lanier and Allatoon and all these places where you catch these fish so deep.
There's only one limitation to depth that I've been able to discern, and that's the bottom.
Well put. Yes, indeed. The bottom of the lake is the limit.
Yeah, and that intimidates people. Or I think people see fish down there sometimes. Now, we haven't caught them super deep here yet. I imagine that's getting ready to happen. The water temperature when I came off yesterday was 86. So we're going there hard and fast. The deepest I've caught them to this point in the summer has been about 70 feet. But if you see fish super deep, don't be afraid. By super deep, I'm talking about 100, 110 on our lake. Mm-hmm. Same would be at Hart. Well, some lakes don't have that kind of depth. Just because he think doesn't mean he will or won't bite. But give him a chance. You won't know. Give him a chance because he may bite. A lot
you
of times
bet.
They will.
Well, one of the points I was making when I was talking about that with the guys at Nichols Lures was when I caught that, was lucky enough to catch that fish last 2 years ago when we were together. And what was it, 97, 98 feet?
98 feet.
Yeah. And
on the bottom.
I didn't snag him. He bit.
Oh, yeah, he bit it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't know how they see down there, and I think that's one reason those big baits have value down there. They displace a lot of water. And sight probably is the last sense that comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole power reeling technique, I think that's why it works. But yes, don't be, you know, deep is good. They'll bite. So, and that's happening all over the lake. And it's not just power reeling. You drop a live bait down there.
Mm-hmm.
So that, do not be intimidated or assume that you see a fish at 60 or 80 feet, he's too deep. Try and catch him. A lot of times he'll be very obligatory.
Every time you call on a Saturday morning with your Ram fishing report, you make it a lesson, and I appreciate that.
Well, we try, and I hope we say something that catches people extra fish, and that nothing will make me happier.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Mac, website quickly.
CaptainMacks.com, CaptainMacks. Check us out. And the Ram fishing report we just did, we'll be there in greater detail. We usually post on Friday, so you can have it ready to go Saturday morning.
They're mighty fine. Thanks for calling, Mac.
My pleasure. Everybody have a great weekend. Catch fish. Be safe. And
I had to drop Mac because we got to get out of here right now, and we'll return with the Silent Hero Award.
Well, Gail and I have had our tough shed for a while now.
An off-duty firefighter helped a trapped mother save her 3 children from their burning home after he happened to be nearby. Typical silent hero story. Mark Regina, he was at his part-time job, and he happened to smell smoke because he was trained, okay? He's a firefighter. He said, I looked through my back window, and I could just see the black smoke come rolling off the building behind me. He went to the house and he tried to get in through the back stairs. He said it was too hot, engulfed in flames. He took a turn. He didn't give up. He took a turn and then he was about to leave. He thought the house was empty. Then he heard a child. He found that the only exit from the building that was not in flames, it was a window, and he had found a woman that was trapped inside the home as a small bathroom window. The next time I turn around, he says, she's gone. And he says, what's going on here? She comes back with a 1-year-old child. She hands him the child through the window. Then she takes off again. He said, I turn around, she's gone. You got to be kidding. She ran back into the fire. She comes back through the bathroom window and hands him a 4-year-old child. So that happened 2 times. So Regina managed to save the mother and her 3 children from the burning home before the firefighters ever get there. And Mark says, 30 years he's been on the job, and he's never had to do what he got to do that day. He was at the right time for that one. somebody wanted me to be there. And that is a silent hero. Brought to you by the Ronnie Thames Foundation. 27 after the hour. Hey, here's our old friend, Hank the Yank. What do you say, my good buddy? What do you say?
Hey, what do you say, Mr. ICAST?
Yes, indeed, Mr. ICAST. I was there.
How was it?
Upbeat. People well, holding their head high. Business is good.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Did you see our friend with an orange University of Tennessee hat?
Yes, I did. I spoke to Bill.
Dance?
I spoke to Bill, and the poor guy.
He was holding court.
We chatted for a minute. We got to spend maybe 30 seconds face to face, and there's somebody pulling at him all the time.
All the time. It's
unbelievable. Take a picture.
Right?
Hey, Bill Dance, can I get a picture? Let me shake your hand. Can I tell you how much I love the show? Here, let me take a picture with you. Man, it's constant.
The king was holding court.
Absolutely.
That's
He's
funny.
The greatest. I got to see Hank Parker and Roland. Roland was there.
Okay.
Jimmy was not there this time. It's the first ICAST that Jimmy has missed in 50 years.
Yep. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Ambassadors of fishing.
That's right. Did you see our buddy Bill Carson?
I did not. I'm sorry I missed that.
Yeah, he was over at the Hummingbird booth.
Okay.
Hummingbird. So, but anyway, let me tell you what's going on.
Please.
I do have a good fishing report for you. So, the striped bass fishing down the river right now, the Chattahoochee, is just really, really, really good and continues to be good through this whole week. Guys are going out and they're really piling on fish. One of the guys from the Fishhawk was fishing this past week and got, now mind you, this is on fly rod. You can do this obviously with a conventional rod, but he got a 14, a 14, a 17, and a 22 pound fish.
So that's
some really good striped bass for fishing the river right now. And, you know, that river anywhere from Atlanta all the way up to Morgan Falls Dam, that's a lot of river to cover. So, you know, obviously it's best to be in a boat, but if you don't, you can always go into the park over by Cochrane Shoals and, you know, fish that section right above Cochrane Shoals Park and just throw out a little, you know, take a spinning rod and from the bank throw into the deeper holes and you catch yourself a nice striped bass.
Right.
So the striper fishing has been fantastic.
All right. Let me ask a question that's going to give a little demo to my national audience. The Chattahoochee River flows through Atlanta from Lake Lanier, north of Atlanta, and it flows through Atlanta, and it's the major water supply for the city of Atlanta, which is like a trickle as to what it really needs to be. To you is fishing can be great in a metro area when it's managed properly.
Correct.
So answer the following question. We have stripers in the Chattahoochee River in and north of Atlanta. How did they get there?
Well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say, if I'm not mistaken, that I'm going to say that Jeff Derniak and the Department of Natural Resources put each one in, hand by hand.
Okay.
The way they got in is our Department of Natural Resources stocks striped bass throughout the state, and they produce over 2.5 million striped bass fingerlings every year, and then they give a smattering of them to many of the lakes around Georgia. And while there is a self-sustaining striped bass population that happens in a few of the lakes where the river systems are long enough, because they have to be able to, what happens to happen is all the stripers that are in the lake eventually make a spawning run upriver, but if the river systems aren't long enough to support the eggs to tumble for a certain amount of time, then they tumble back down into the lake and get covered up with silt and don't hatch into a fingerling.
Mm-hmm.
So the DNR actually does raise them, and they stock them throughout the lake. Lake Lanier gets somewhere between 400,000 to 500,000 striped bass, so maybe a little more every year, and many of the neighboring lakes, whether it's Altoona or it's Hartwell or Clark, Clark's Hill or any of the other lakes, many of the lakes get smatterings of stockings of striped bass because of our dollars spent from the Department of Natural Resources that comes from our fishing licenses.
That was my next question. That was my next question, which would be for my non-hunting or non-fishing audience. This is a marvelous thing that these fish are stocked all the way from Oklahoma, all the way across the country, and even into California. And who in the world pays for all that?
We do.
You betcha.
That's right. And by the way, our marvelous Department of Natural Resources also has allowed us to have a self-sustaining trout fishery right through downtown Atlanta.
Ooh,
trout. I am talking a cold water fishery in the deep south, which is absolutely marvelous. They help with a lot of stocking programs throughout the state. Not only do they do striped bass, they do trout, they do walleye, they do white bass. So they're really it's a marvelous organization run by the federal government. And these guys, unfortunately, are so highly underfunded, but they do a great job for everybody. And we are just so thankful for those guys.
Okay, let me ask you another question. I had a caller earlier, and he wanted to take his children fishing. And I told him about, couldn't take a half an hour to answer, but one of my answers was to go to one of the state parks, one of the wildlife management areas, and fish in the ponds. I failed to tell him about where he can go and catch trout. Why don't you do that?
Well, if he wants to catch some trout, the best place to go would be the Chattahoochee River, and he can go in if he's living in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
One of the areas he can go is to the Jones Bridge section or the Island Ford section, and he can fish off the bank over there. There's plenty of places where he can go and dunk some corn or some worms or whatnot and catch some trout with his kids. I will tell you, for somebody who hasn't fished a lot with his child, I think you gave him the right answer to go to one of the state parks and go into the WMAs and and fish one of the ponds there. And I'll tell you, if you want to look like a superstar to your kids, if it's not too long a drive and you're going to take them there, let's just say you were going to take them there Sunday afternoon. The best thing you could do is Saturday afternoon, go to the place and scout out a nice place with clean back, with clean grass and everything for the kids to run around and play and whatnot. Get there the day before and just toss in the area that you're going to be fishing and go make yourself some dough balls and corn and cat food and make little dough balls or meatballs for the fish and throw it out and chum the area. And you'll have half the pond swimming onto that side of the place. And when your kids go the next day with you and they start catching fish,
now,
they're going to look at you.
Hank, where did you learn that?
I can't talk about it. I know a guy who used to catch catfishes and sell catfish as a young man to save his money. Didn't you do stuff like that too?
Well, he learned that from, I can't get him to tell you, it's from O'Neill Outside, the book, People and Places Along the Way. How did you like that description?
It's great.
All right,
it's
great.
It's great, yeah.
Listen, I'm really glad you called. I got to get out of here. Your call, yours and Max are always so informative, and I get to use you as a sounding board for my questions, which you always answer so expertly.
Well, you guys have a great weekend. And, when it comes to, hanging praise on the DNR, I don't feel we can ever give them enough.
I agree.
So it's my pleasure.
I agree.
Take care.
All right, my good friend. I'll see you soon, I hope. There you go. And when we return, it's going to be the Medal of Honor winner. We'll be right back.
She said, I've seen you in here before.
Okay, time for the Medal of Honor account.
Honor, courage, and strength of character. These qualities are embodied by the recipients of the Medal of Honor. Now let's recognize this week's Medal of Honor recipient on O'Neill Outside.
Walter Marm, 2nd Lieutenant, U.S. Army, Vietnam, 1965. As a platoon leader in the 1st Cavalry, Marm's company was to relieve a friendly unit surrounded by an enemy force of estimated regimental size. This was a big deal. Now, Marm led his platoon through the withering fire until they were finally forced to take cover. realizing as commander that his platoon could not hold on very long, and seeing four enemy soldiers moving into position, he moved quickly under heavy fire, and he killed all four of them. Then, seeing that the platoon was receiving fire from a concealed machine gun, he deliberately exposed himself to draw the fire so they could locate the position. He then charged 30 yards over open ground, and he killed all eight of them. Now, he was already wounded, and he was out of grenades, and armed only with a rifle, he continued and killed the remaining enemy and relieved the platoon. His selfless actions broke the enemy assault, rallied his unit to continue toward this mission, and Lieutenant Marm's gallantry on the battlefield at the risk of his own life are the highest traditions of the U.S. Army and reflect great credit upon him and the armed forces of this country. Walter Marm, second lieutenant, and he's still alive. And I hope maybe that he got to listen to that. And you can be entertained and be informed via the accounts for the Medal of Honor recipients by going to O'Neill Outside website. And right there on the home page, you will see a medallion on the home page about the Medal of Honor. And you can read those descriptions right there. And it's inspiring. Don't let me forget to tell you that you can go to, it's not connected, Cherokee County Toyota and Horsetown stores, pick yourself up a hat. 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. It's 43 after the hour on an unused Saturday morning. And we hope you're planning to spend the weekend with your family. Isn't it nice to talk about outdoors, fishing, hunting, camping, hiking, and not to throw rocks at anybody, but my goodness, isn't it nice to not be talking about politics for just a little while? We need to remain informed, but oh my goodness, I've just about had enough of deceit and lies and exaggerations and dodging bullets and total irresponsibility. I've personally had about enough of that, and I hope you have too. So, I'd love to know where you're going to go with your family this weekend. We've given you some good places to try in Georgia, Alabama, throughout Tennessee, the Carolinas, all around. I can assure you that the Department of Natural Resources in whatever state that you live will be able to give you information off of their websites of some terrific places for you to take your family for pond fishing, stream fishing, and as Hank brought out in the conversation, Hank the Yank, that all this stocking of stripers and trout and all of this, the hiking trails, the experience of the outdoors, the state parks, the ponds, the wildlife management area. Who in the world is it that pays for all of that? It's a recurring subject. Pardon me, but I can't help it. Through the acts of the Robertson-Pittman Act, the Wildlife Restoration Act, which occurred in the 1930s, you know who pays for all that conservation? You and I do. With licenses, tags, permits, and excise taxes on outdoor sporting goods, rods, reels, I think probably rifles, guns, ammunition, camping gear. We pay an excise tax, and that money goes to wildlife restoration and the outdoors, which allows us to enjoy that. with our children and with our families. Just a minute. I got to get a cup here. How's your coffee this morning? Is it good? It's good. We've celebrated a milestone here last month, Gail and I did, because this show, O'Neill Outside, and I'm bragging, is 27 years old now. The television show is 37 years old. The radio show is 27 years old. And it has become, with your help, with your participation, your viewership, and the fine sponsors that send money that we can do this, it has become the number one live outdoor-based radio talk show in the world. And I'm bragging, and I don't care. All right? 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. And the ICAST show was spectacular. And one of the things that I noticed at the ICAST, which is the largest sport fishing and equipment show in the world, it was in Orlando. We got, Gail and I got back last night, is the number of companies that now manufacture and make available to you fishing clothing. And almost without exception, it's all long sleeve, comfortable, thin, cooling, and with the buffs and things that protect you from the sun. As a young man, I was a violator of the sun deal. And I can tell you, the sun is not your friend, my friend. The sun is detrimental to your health. So take up, whether it's Huck or Real Tree or Mossy Oak or whatever it is, be sure and avail yourself of this new special clothing that protects you from the sun. It's not cool any longer to be sunburned or have a deep tan or burned around your face and ears and see that you had your sunglasses on. And one of the things connected with that, and O'Neill has lots of advice, is have some lip balm. Normally when you put on suntan lotion or sunscreen, you don't put it on your lips. And I had a good friend who suffered mightily because of the effect of sun on his lips, to the tune of the removal of quite a few of those, of the resulting tumors on his lips because of the sun. Okay. It's time for you to start, and I had a call earlier about this. It's time, if you're a deer hunter, for you to plan the fall. It's July, you kid? Yes, it is. White-tailed deer, that's the number one fur-bearing targeted animal in North America. It's interesting to note that probably when Columbus landed, the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, which is not true, those weren't the names of the boats, he had others, there were probably 5,000, I understand, white-tailed deer in the United States. Right now, there's 36 million white-tailed deer in the United States. There's more elk, there's more wild turkeys, there's more of everything, and it's gotten to be almost year-round. Start planning. You're putting in your food plots. You should have already done that. Put in your food plots. Understand the deer. Know more about him biologically, about his habits, It's always been my contention that the more you know, whether it's a whitetail deer or hogs or turkey or stripers or largemouth or whatever it is you fish or hunt for, or what, or whether you just go to the woods and just view the animals and birds, the more you know, the more you can enjoy it. For instance, in the first part of the program, I think you'll find this, and we pride ourselves in our television and radio programs that if you listen, if you watch, then you will know more, and you will maybe find out something about the wildlife, and you can say, well, ooh, I didn't know that. Last week, I believe it was on O'Neill Outside, that Travis, he lives in Texas now, and he hunted, and we had the show was hunting the pronghorn antelope. Interesting, the pronghorn antelope is not an antelope. The pronghorn is a goat. But that's okay, you can call him what you want. But I thought it was tremendously interesting that his closest animal, his closest animal relative on earth of a pronghorn is a giraffe. And I find that interesting. So there you are. 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. Woman Williams is not with us this morning. She's sleeping in a little bit. It was a long week at ICAST, and it was a long drive back yesterday, so she's sleeping in this morning. But we'll hear from our good friend Mike Hayes in a few minutes. But I'll have my questions for Mike and let him tell us about his most recent trip. It's 52 after the hour. Why not make plans now for some of the excursions into the woods, the ponds, the lakes, and streams that we've referred to and asked about this weekend on the program for your children? I know I belabor that point over and over and over and over again. Because those memories that you're able to share and create on the ponds, the lakes, and streams, and in the woods, those are the ones you remember the most. The memories into which you participate. And those are vivid descriptions, I hope. Then, and self-righteously, I will point out, and without the least bit of hesitation, for the self-promotion, that you can go to O'Neill Outside or Amazon, O'Neill Outside website, Amazon website, and click in O'Neill Outside, or simply click on the book cover, O'Neill Outside, People and Places Along the Way, for 65 years in the outdoors. It's 54 after the hour, and we'll be back.
News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Hello, Mike Hayes. How are you, sir? I couldn't wake up Gail this morning. How about that?
Congratulations. Yeah. She's a smart one in the group.
You just wore her out this year. But I understand, I want to ask. We established last week with you and Gail that you drive around.
The sun is hot and that old clock.
57 after the hour, we're about to conclude O'Neill Outside for Saturday the 14th. But first of all, let's chat with Lewis. Lewis, you're on the radio. Welcome.
Hey, sir. How are you today?
Good.
Hey, I heard you say something a little bit ago that really made my ears pop up. I moved to Georgia about 3 years ago, moved from South Dakota, and you said the word walleye.
Yes.
I've been told that's not here, and, is it?
No, the walleye is in some North Georgia lakes. That's as far south as he'll get.
Huh.
He's a northern critter. Yeah, he's a northern critter all the way up into Canada under the ice.
Yeah.
But you can catch him. Are you calling from Georgia, Lewis? You live in Georgia?
Yeah.
Okay. Quickly, here's how you can catch walleye in Georgia. There's five or six lakes, Lake Burton, Lake Seed, Lake Raymond, Lake Hiawassee, Chattoo. You can catch them there, but the place you can catch the most of them is the following. All right, remember this now. This is precious information.
Got it.
during the full moon in the month of February, if you will go to Lake Lanier and go up the Chestatee River, go if you're not bouncing on the bottom in the Chestatee River, you have not gone far enough. But the walleye in Lake Lanier, which is a deep water fish, he goes up the Chestatee River in the month of February around the full moon, and the river has thousands and thousands of walleye in it.
No kidding. Wow, that's amazing.
And you can catch them. You have to use minnows or some type of a worm, a night crawler, because he's a carnivore, and that's what you have to use to catch him. Chestatee River, the month of February. Call earlier next week, and it'll give us a chance to talk about that.
All right, it will do.
Good deal. Thank you for calling, sir. This is O'Neill. Thank you for joining us on O'Neill Outside today. Woman Williams will be back next week. So many thanks to Karen and Brian Green, Jason Byers, the engineer for Gal Media in Houston, Texas. So until next week, I'll see you soon. Just an old